Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Tetvav, Chapter 15. Following the reconciliation with his father, which Avshalom had intuited was not wholehearted on the part of David, and following the inflation of his vanity through his personal prosperity and the unparalleled admiration of everyone who saw him, Avshalom made for himself a royal chariot and horses with 50 men who would run before him. This was an honor usually reserved for the king himself and is a sign of things to come. Avshalom would awaken early each day and stand at the gate where people would gather to present their cases to the king. He would approach each person who had an argument to bring before the king and ask, "What city are you from?" And the person would respond with the name of one of the cities of Israel. Avshalom would say, "See here, your arguments are good and proper, but you'll have no listener in the king." Malbim explains that Avshalom is implying both that the king plays favorites, favoring people of his own tribe, and that the king's attention is no longer focused due to his age or to laziness. "If only I were judge of the land," continues Avshalom, "then everyone could come to me with his case, and I would judge in his favor." And as each person would draw close to him to bow to him, Avshalom would stretch out his hand and pull the person into an embrace and kiss him. And so he behaved to everyone who came before the king to be judged. And Avshalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Chazal tell us that in addition to the factors mentioned above that contributed to Avshalom's grandiose opinion of himself, and his belief that he should be the next king, was the fact that David had never disciplined him. Never having been rebuked by his father, he developed a sense that he was infallible, that everything he did was right by definition. It is no accident that Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes in Sefer Mishlei that discipline is a form of love. He has witnessed firsthand what can happen when a parent withholds discipline from his child. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayhi miketz arba'im shana, at the end of 40 years. The commentators are divided as to when this 40-year period began. Abarbanel explains, according to the Pshat, the literal meaning within the context, that these are the 40 years of David's rule, and that the text is speaking in rounded terms. It would have been the 37th or 38th year of his rule, when the time was approaching for him to appoint a successor, and Avshalom decided to preempt his decision and stage a rebellion against his father, who seemed to be favoring Shlomo over him. Alternatively, Chazal explained that it has been 40 years since the people requested of Shmuel to appoint a king, to highlight that only 40 short years after they themselves requested a system of monarchy, they are already rebelling against the appointed monarch. Vayomer Avshalom el Hamelech, Elchana v'ashalim et nidri asher nadarti l'Hashem b'chevron. Avshalom said to the king, presenting himself in all innocence, "Allow me to go to Hebron to fulfill the vow that I have vowed to Hashem. For when I was in exile in Geshur, I vowed that if he would return me to Yerushalayim, I would serve Hashem." Ostensibly, Avshalom put forward that he wanted to go to Hebron because the sheep there are very fat and would be the best quality korban to offer to Hashem. His real intention was a strategic measure. David's malchut had originated in Hebron, and his planned rebellion, emerging from the same place, would strengthen the impression that he is the rightful heir to the kingdom. Moreover, he would draw to himself the core support of David's own tribe. Vayomer lo hamelech, in Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayomer lo hamelech, leich b'shalom, vayakam vayelech chevrona. And the king gave him permission, saying, "Go in peace." And Avshalom got up and went to Hebron. Avshalom sent scouts to all the tribes of Israel, saying, "When you hear the blast of the shofar, proclaim, Avshalom has become king in Hebron." Along with Avshalom, there went 200 men from Yerushalayim who had been invited and went along innocently, not knowing of the plan. Avshalom sent for Achitophel Hagiloni, the advisor of David, we may remember him as the grandfather of Bathsheba, to join in the sacrificial offerings from his home in Gilo, and the conspiracy strengthened, and the supporters of Avshalom increased in number. A messenger came to David and told him, "The hearts of the people are following Avshalom." David said to the servants who had remained with him in Yerushalayim, "Rise, let us escape, for Avshalom will leave no remnant. Let us go quickly, lest he overtake us and destroy the city by sword." The servants responded in verse 15, "Kechol asher yivchar Adoni ha-melech, hinei avadecha." Anything our Lord the King chooses to do, we are prepared to follow. According to the Midrash, it was this unwavering declaration of loyalty that prompted David to compose the psalm, Mizmor Gimel. In Tehillim, Mizmor le David bevarcho mipnei Avshalom beno. A psalm to David as he escaped from his son Avshalom, in which he expresses that even though his enemies are many, he has complete faith that Hashem will save him. The king and his household left on foot, leaving only 10 concubines to guard the palace. All his followers marched along with him, and they paused at the furthest house from the city. David's supporters passed alongside him, including the Kreti and the Pleti, which you may remember we had defined earlier as the elite units of archers and slingers who served the king directly, and 600 men from Gat who had come on foot to support the king. And as they passed, the king said to Ittai Hagiti, "Why should you come as well? You have no obligation to me. You are a foreigner and exiled from your place. You came to us just yesterday from Gat. Why should I cause you to wander with us when I don't even know myself where I'm headed? Return, take your people back with you, and I consider it a true chesed that you even considered following me." Ittai responded, "I swear by Hashem and by the life of my lord the king that wherever the king goes, whether in death or in life, there your servant will be." Seeing Ittai's loyalty and determination, David allowed him to pass before him with all the men and boys who were with him. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, "V'chol ha'aretz bochim, kol gadol, v'chol ha'am ovrim, v'hamelech over b'nachal kidron, v'chol ha'am ovrim al pnei derech et hamidbar." All the people of the land were crying loudly as they passed, and the king crossed Nachal Kidron, and the people headed towards Midbar Yehuda, the Judean desert. Nachal Kidron is the valley northeast of the old city of Jerusalem that separates the Temple Mount and the city of David from Har HaZeitim, the Mount of Olives, and then heads out to the Judean desert. Then Tzadok appeared with the Levim carrying the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant, along with Eviatar, the Kohen Gadol, and they presented the Aron until all the supporters of David had passed. The king said to Tzadok, "Return the Aron to the city. If I find favor in the eyes of Hashem, he will return me as well, and I will see it in its dwelling place. And if he should say, 'I don't want you,' I am prepared for him to do with me as he pleases." This is a very novel concept at that time. The idea that Yerushalayim was the proper dwelling place of the Aron, that it would remain there in all circumstances, is very new. This is David's vision of Yerushalayim as the home of the house of Hashem, and not that Hashem follows the individual king. Throughout this event, David takes every opportunity to reinforce the primacy of Yerushalayim as the capital city of the Jewish nation. He retreats from the city, preferring to face danger himself than place the city at risk of destruction, and now insists that the most visible symbol of the connection between Hashem and the Jewish people must reside only in Yerushalayim. It is the city that binds the people together with Hashem, more so even than the king. The king said further to Tzadok HaKohen, "Do you see that you should return to the city in peace?" Chazal interpret this literally. "Do you see that the letters on the Urim V'Tumim spell out Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom, return to the city in peace?" Although Rashi explains it as a colloquial expression, as in, "Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand and accept my reasoning that you should return to the city?" David tells Tzadok to take his two sons, to take his son, Achimaatz, and Yehonatan, the son of Eviatar, with him, who can serve to bring news to David of what's happening in the city while he hides in the caves of the desert. So Tzadok and Abiatar brought the Aron back to Yerushalayim and remained there, while David ascended the Mount of Olives, walking and crying. Malbim notes that whereas we were told before that the people were crying, David himself did not cry, rather placed his faith in Hashem. Only now, upon being separated from the Aron, does he give vent to his tears. He covered his head and walked barefoot as in mourning, and the people with him did the same. David was told that Achitophel, his former close advisor, was among the conspirators with Avshalom, and David uttered a brief prayer in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, Sakelna et atzat Achitophel, Hashem. Hashem, please make the advice of Achitophel foolish. David knew well that Achitophel was very clever, and this is the first indication that he feels really threatened in any way. David turns to Hashem, knowing that if things follow the natural course, Achitophel's advice would be a source of great advantage to Avshalom. Only with Hashem's direct intervention could Achitophel's advice be derailed. Chazal teach that David's prayer was immediately answered. In the next pasuk, we find that when David reached the summit of the mountain, where he would bow and pray to Hashem, he encountered his dear friend, Hushai Ha'arki, who had come to greet him with torn clothing and earth on his head as a sign that he was with David in his mourning. This was the answer to David's prayer. David said to Hushai, in the manner in which one can speak one's heart to a true friend, if you come with me, you will be an additional burden. The best thing you can do to help me is to return to the city, profess your loyalty and friendship to Avshalom, saying, just as I served your father, I am now your servant. Thus, you will be able to confound the advice of Achitophel on my behalf. Tzadok and Eviatar, the Kohanim, are there, and anything you hear in the palace that you wish to relate to me, tell Tzadok and Eviatar, and their sons, Achimaatz and Yehonatan, will relate to me everything that you hear. So Hushai, the friend of David, came to the city, and Avshalom arrived in Yerushalayim. Note that Hushai hurried to arrive in Yerushalayim before Avshalom got there, so that it would appear that he had never left and had been waiting there in anticipation of Avshalom's arrival and thus remain above suspicion. Note as well that while Achitophel throughout the story has been referenced as David's advisor, one who holds an official position but whose emotions are not necessarily involved, Hushai is his friend, a true friend, whose loyalty is absolute. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.